Item 12, item 11 having been continued to the December meeting. This is the Blue Crab Fishery Public Hearings. Mr. O'Reilly.
I have a number of handouts. I think that'll cover everyone.
There's another one for you, Paul.
Thanks, sir.
I've seen it.
Neighbors.
So I'd like to, good afternoon, Commissioner and members of the Commission. And the first thing I'd like to do is to go over the handouts. We did have a mail out, and I will tell you that one of the benefits of Hurricane Sandy is it allowed staff to spend more time on composing bushel limits than what you had in your packet that was mailed out. So it afforded more time. We had several staff members working on this item, a very difficult item, but I think you'll see later on that the results were well worth it, and we'll go over that with you. But in your packet, you have a letter from the director of the Fishery Service in Maryland, Tom O'Connell, and I'm just going to go over a couple of things from Mr. O'Connell. One is that there's a situation throughout where Mr. O'Connell recommends that any type of an extension, whether it be starting the season March 1 instead of March 17th or extending the 2012 season through December 15, that be covered by conservation equivalency or by compensation. And also, Mr. O'Connell expresses concern about the status of the stock. You'll see a slide in a little bit that shows that the female abundance, the spawning stock abundance, was 97 million, which is below average, below the time series average of the winter dredge survey of 23 years. And there's concerns that Mr. O'Connell expresses about that. And then there's also information at towards the end of his letter concerning the dredge study that's going to take place starting December 17th. And his concern is just that they be apprised of the results of this study. And certainly that's no problem with presenting results to Maryland. Next in your packet, you should find a letter from the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and Chris Moore is here, so I'll let him talk about the items from the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. The next few letters, which I think there were four, request a closure of the crab dredge season for 2012-2013. And in your mail-out, I think you had 12 or 13 similar letters of support for maintaining the closed season for the crab dredge fishery. Also, there's some regulations that had to be adjusted because of date changes, mainly on blue paper. The first one is pertaining to crabbing, and it's Chapter 270. And I'll be going over that in a little bit, as well as the Blue Crab Sanctuaries, Chapter 752. And the final item that I handed out relates to one of the items that's up here on the screen, which is requests for funding from the Marine Fishing Improvement Fund. And you can see there that what's included is the VIMS contract, and Dr. Lipschitz, Michael Sebo, and Danielle McCulloch are all here today if you have questions about that study. It also provides information on what the VMRC will be asking for funding for the captains, the four captains, to participate in that study. So with that, I'm going to proceed to the public hearing items. They're listed there. And one, of course, is the closure of the season for the dredge fishery for 2012-2013. The season's been closed for four consecutive past seasons. The second item is to extend the season, and I will explain that the hurricane did have some problems for harvesters, and so we're going to be asking that the commission allow six additional harvest days for the crabbers. And the harvest days are in terms of allowing for female crab harvest. The season right now, the way it stands, ends for female harvest on the 20th of November, whereas the harvest of male crabs can go till November 30th. So what we're asking, in deference to the problems with the hurricane, is an extra six working days. That would mean the season for harvesting females would go to November 27th, and it's going to get a little bit complicated, but not a lot. But when we ask about extending the season, which is the fourth item down, extension for the lawful season of blue crab harvest for December 15th, just keep in mind that anything with bushel limits is going to start the 28th of November to the 15th of December. Through the 27th, that won't be part of the bushel limit calculations. This is just an allowance for the harvesters who did have impacts. The third item is a proposed opening of the crabbing season as of March 1, and it has been March 17 since 2007. Prior to that, it was April 1. That started in 1995. Finally, we're talking about restricting the commercial crab harvest activities in the Virginia portion of the Albemarle and really the Currituck watersheds, and also to create a uniform regulation for blue crab sanctuaries. Right now there are two. We want to condense that to one, and I'll explain that. And the last item I just talked about, the Marine Fishing Improvement Fund. So I want to start out to let you know that as we knew Sandy was approaching, we still thought at the time we would have a commission meeting on the 30th. But because of that, we knew that we would not have a Crab Management Advisory Committee meeting in advance of that. It was called off for the day before. So we did call, staff made calls to the committee, and these are the results. And the first question was, do you support the recommendation to close the 2012-2013 crab dredge fishery season? And you can see that the majority said no, three said yes. And do you support an extension to December 15th of the crab pot fishery? And the majority said yes, three said no. And do you support bushel limits if there is an extension? Now, bushel limits are a mechanism for compensation, for trade-offs, for conservation equivalency. In other words, whatever should be estimated as harvested with an extension will be paid back at some point by having the bushel limits. So you can see the results there. The second question, what dates for bushel limits? Really not very clear-cut answers, but four individuals said no dates, meaning no preference. Two said any, which pretty much means the same thing. And you can see the references down here to actual times when those bushel limits should occur, either wrapped around the year from 2012, November 21, through May 31st, 2013, or wrapped around an entire season of 2013 to go all the way to November 30th, 2013. And then the last question we asked was, do you support the restriction of commercial crab harvest in the Virginia portion of the Albemarle and really Currituck watersheds? And it was seven yes and one abstain. And we did have another Crab Management Advisory Committee this past Friday, so I'll report on that. And Chairman Robbins may have some information as well when we get to that report. So to familiarize everyone, again, with the changes that took place in 2011. In 2011, there was a stock assessment, an analytical assessment that was used to show that there could be a female-only blue crab target for both the overfishing and the overfished. So overfishing is in relation to how many crabs are taken out of the stock by the fishery, and overfished means a level of abundance that if you go beyond that level, you're overfished and you're an unsafe level. 97 million spawning age female crabs, as I mentioned earlier, was one of the low points along the 23-year time series of the winter dredge survey. But at the same time, it was also a very high year for recruits or very small crabs, age zero crabs, which are defined as less than 2.4 inches in carapace width. And that was 587 million. So that was the good part of the news from the winter dredge survey. The exploitation rate or the removal rate was 24%. And you'll see a chart later on that shows the removal rate just for females, and this is all sizes, from the smallest size taken by the winter dredge survey up to the largest size. That was 24%, which happens to be the target. A target is a fishery management device to make sure that you have a decent amount of buffer from a threshold or an unsafe level, which is 34%. So it was well below the target. And in fact, if there were any concerns about what will happen in 2012, please consider that there's a large abundance of age zero plus female crabs. 52% of the 587 million plus the 97 million is the amount of female crabs that are in the abundance. And the harvest has been down a little bit baywide, including in Virginia. So this means that the exploitation rate should be relatively low, because it really is just the harvest divided by the abundance to give you that exploitation rate. There's some recent developments. The Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee, known as CBSAC, recommends that further work be done before establishing a formal male reference point. What this is concerning is, despite the fact there are female-centric reference points, both for overfish and overfishing, many in the Bay want to make sure that the male component of the stock is also viewed in an analytical fashion, and that there's some types of targets or at least thresholds for overfished and overfishing after time. This shows something interesting in that the harvest since 2008, when Maryland and Virginia's governors established a 34% reduction in female harvest, the harvest has responded in Virginia. It also responded in Maryland Potomac River Fisheries Commission, despite the fact for 2012 you're going to see about a 5 million pound drop-off is what is estimated. You can see in the red line, this is the trips, the actual fishing trips, which you can see over here, the number of trips. So quite a few trips up here in 1994. The trips have come down, and what's a good sign is you see from 2006 to 2008, there's almost a one-to-one correspondence that the trips are producing a certain amount of harvest, whereas when you get to the last 3 years, 2009 through 2011, really you're getting much higher harvest per trip or catch per trip, which is a good sign. The peeler fishery seems to mimic the trips that are taken, and you can see that pretty clearly. Those trips rise up, so did the harvest through these years, to above 2 million pounds at one point, or right near 2 million pounds, and as the trips die down, you can see that the harvest also falls as well. This is a situation where you see that 2012 in this purple line here through July shows some interesting points. One is in March, the harvest really increased. That's a bit of a concern, actually, because the harvest typically in March is fairly low in these years, and then it increased quite a bit in 2011 in the green line and increased even more to just under 2.4 million pounds in March. The situation is, though, that the harvest fell off in these other months as you go through July. So March is certainly a time where not only the harvest increased dramatically, it almost doubled from some of the earlier years, the number of trips taken increased proportionally. This shows the peeler pot harvest. It shows a trend where not very much in March. Usually the peeler pot fishery is in May. 50 to 55% of the annual harvest does occur in May, and you can see that it's low in 2012 compared to earlier years. We have projected the harvest. We have a situation where when we receive data It's a month old from the commercial harvesters. That's the way the regulation is designed, to get the previous month's harvest and get their daily reports. It then has to be screened. The folders have to be noted for any problems. Phone calls might be made to straighten out folders. Those folders then go to a data entry company and return to us. The data is put into a database that we house, and then corrections have to be made at that point as well. So there is a delay from the time the reports come in and the time we have the data housed properly in the database. So we have to project the harvest. And the way we do this is not very complicated. You make an assumption that the trips from 1 year is similar to a couple of the years previous, or the number of harvesters are, and then you take a catch per harvester, a catch per trip, and you use what has happened partly in 2012, and you expand it. We're projecting for 2012 a harvest about 23.7 million pounds. This is about a 5 million pound decrease. When we met with the Crab Management Advisory Committee on Friday, they thought the 5 million was a low estimate. They think it'll be slightly lower. At the September meeting, the chairman asked for some information. That time, the chairman was Mr. Robbins, substituting for Mr. Travelstead. And one thing we wanted to show you was information about all the fisheries, despite the fact that the crab dredge fishery has not been open since 2008. This gives you an idea of the type of harvest from the crab dredge fishery and from also the peeler pot fishery in the Green Line. Other gear, which usually is crab trap or crab pound, it's also called, or crab scrape. Those are the two main other gear. And of course, you can see here the major gear is crab pot, which is about 94-95% of the fishery harvest at this time. If you went back further, you would see that the crab dredge back in 1988 accounted for 25% of the annual harvest back at that time. So Mr. Robbins had asked about economic information to bring to this meeting, and we're hoping that this satisfies his request. This is value by gear type. It's been adjusted through 2011 for the Consumer Price Index to take care of inflation. And what you can see is that the value here in 2010 was getting close to some of the early values back in the mid-90s. But not quite. And then there was a fall off in 2011 for the crab pot. For the other gears, you can see the value of the peeler pot certainly increased in those years where there was high harvest and then has fallen off. You can also see the crab dredge value from these early years. You can see it as it falls off here. And you can see by 2006, it's really in decline, but so was the number of participants in that fishery. This shows average value. So this is on a price per pound, and you can see the peeler fishery, generally a high price per pound. As staff has told the Crab Management Advisory Committee, we know with 54 buyers that we place phone calls to receive voluntary information on economic data, and that some are cooperative and some are not, that we have trends that we can show. We can't tell you that any pinpoint exactness concerns this economic data, but I think the trends are certainly fairly reliable. And you can see crab pot is fairly steady. There were comments at the recent meeting that to have a dollar per pound is pretty good for this time of year, and some of the harvesters indicated that. And you can see that that's been reached several times along the time series. And then for the crab dredge, you can also see in the past the price has generally been in the 78 to right around 75 cents per pound. Here's additional information, and you can see some of the highlighted, but what staff has done here is to show that there's not always a good match between harvest and economics. So the first part of this table is showing the pounds harvested by month through the years, including 2012, starting in 2008. The second part of the table is showing the dockside value, and the third part is showing you the average value, the price per pound. And what you can see is there was certainly a lot of harvest here in 2012, nearly 2.4 million pounds. And yes, there was a good amount of value, but you can also see the price per pound was the lowest in the time series at 89 cents per pound. You can also do this for the other years. I'm just going to go to 2011 here and show you May. May, you have the highest harvest in 2011. When you look, you don't really have the highest amount of value, and you certainly don't have the highest price per pound. So what staff suggested to the Crab Manager Advisory Committee, these are the types of information that all of us should work together to figure out sequencing the type of fishery that really should be for the future. And this also brings out a point that concerning the March 1st opening, staff can't support a March 1st opening based on two things mainly. One is we're already at a very high harvest here. We're going to create a derby situation with effort getting out there on March 1 instead of March 17th. It's going to start to put a real glut in the market even earlier than it usually does when there's abundance of crabs, which is usually about mid-April. It will make that even sooner. It will also be at a very low cost. And also, those crabs are part of the spawning stock. So crabs in March are part of what will spawn either in late May or July and August coming up. So for those reasons, staff is not recommending a March 1 opening and recommending March 17th stay as the opening for the fishery. And you can see the recommendation right there. So now to take the items. The prohibition of crab dredging in Virginia waters. Season's been closed since 2008. There's a situation which is historical on incidental damage to crabs. It goes back a little more than 20 years of staff recording some high incidental damage and some low incidental damage. There's also concerns by the public over this fishery. Those concerns came forward again. And right now, it does seem difficult to support the fishery not knowing about the extent of incidental damage. And I think that you know that staff has told you it's not only the crab dredge fishery that has incidental damage. Crab pot has incidental damage too, especially in the summertime when temperatures are hot. I know that Dr. Lipschitz has mentioned in the past that there's been not only mortality of sponges, but also of female crabs from the heat. The peeler fishery, especially in the spring, there's incidental damage there as well. So as a result of uncertainty and lack of information for the commission to consider, the commissioner requested a scientific study, which will be handled by the Virginia Institute of Marine Science in cooperation with VMRC staff to focus on incidental mortality. And the study can be talked about a little bit later. But concerning the dredge fishery itself, if you don't mind sort of looking at that slide a little bit, I think the facts are ones that have been presented before. It is a female crab fishery, you know, as much as 95%. There certainly is a abundance of age zero crabs, the 587 million from the recent winter dredge survey. But at the same time, a lot of those crabs don't seem to have shown up in the fisheries. That's something for concern. There certainly was a mention at CMAC, because it wasn't a positive motion, but there was a motion that was talked about earlier to allow an industry-based study where they would keep track of the fishery themselves and they would record the information from the fishery. And it would be a three-year study. At the same time, they would say that the crab pot cull ring should go to 2.5 inches. Unfortunately, that's something that can't be mandated easily. In 2008, the commission had to reduce by 34%, and the cull ring was a mechanism to afford part of that reduction credit. Also, the public is involved. This is a public resource. The study results, it's hard to tell how they will bear out, but the study results certainly will be important for the public to find out what this gear really is about, if it's on hard bottom surfaces, soft bottom surfaces, if divers, which are weights, are on the dredge or not on the dredge. So there are certain things that the public will be able to find out. So consequently, the staff recommends the commission close the 2012-2013 crab dredge fishery season. Another item, and these all be at the end as a summary, so I'm going to go through the items, if that's all right, Commissioner, just go through them one at a time. The next one is the proposed extension of the crab pot season. And as you heard earlier, we are requesting from the commission, staff is, that the season for female harvest of crabs now be November 27th to compensate for the hurricane. And an extension by itself does extend the market for the crab product. This is one of the industry's main concerns, that they think if there could be some way to get a 12-month supply of crabs, that would really benefit the industry. It might help the end of the season for a crab pot harvest. It might help the beginning. So this would provide some of that if we're extended to December 15th. What we're looking at really is a little less than this. With the redo of the bushel limits, it's 349,000 pounds is what is estimated would be harvested from November 28th until December 15th. This 359,000, there should be a zero there, was really before the 6 days were factored in here. So it's really 349,000 pounds. And if you extend the fall season from November 28th through December 15th, it would be by way of bushel limits. And the bushel limits are proposed by the Crab Management Advisory Committee and by staff to take place in 2013. Not in 2012. I think the reason is very solid from the Crab Management Advisory Committee. No one knows what is going to happen from November 28th to December 15th. The last time there was a December fishery was 1994, and there's no guarantee that the fishery will be as good as it was even back then. So they would rather wait, the committee would, and see what that harvest really was. But in the meantime, are willing to trade spawning potential, because that's what this really is with the bushel limits. For the extra female crabs that are taken through December 15th, there would be a payback through bushel limits during the entire 2013 season, which staff is recommending is March 17th to November 30th. This is just to give you an idea of the information staff looked at. We looked at a biological basis to figure out which years were the best to use for a bushel limit, because you can't really just pinpoint the most recent year. Obviously, there are changes. You can see some of those changes here. If you look at 2010, it's very similar to 2012 in terms of total abundance. If you also look just at the age zero crabs, the small crabs, you can see that the average running through these years is 202. That's very close to 2011. And you can also see, if you look at just the spawning age females, these are female crabs that will spawn after the winter dredge survey the following May, late May, or July and August. And you can see that that's tied pretty closely to 2009 data. So staff utilized that time series, 2009 through 2011, where there was good precision on the estimates. Again, this is a read-along, but bushel limits do affect harvest. And the problem we've always had with bushel limits, and we tried to do this as a staff in 2000, is that we wanted to just have all the crabbers together and get an average basis for a bushel limit. You can pretty quickly understand that if you have a small volume crabber, or a lot of them, and you have some high volume crabbers, the average basis is going to work against the one who's a full-time crabber or the high-volume crabber or the one who has 425 pots. So it really was not very successful for us back in 2000. And, you know, really the bushel limits have to be set so that you don't disproportionately impact one category than the other. And we have five. We have an 85-pot limit. We have a 127-pot limit, a 170-pot limit, a 255-pot limit, and a 425-pot limit. So there are five categories. Law enforcement, thank goodness, in meeting with Colonel Lauderman and Lieutenant Colonel Rhodes, they agreed that they could enforce a category-specific bushel limit where they will be able to go to a harvester and ask the harvester to produce their license. Their license will say, I have an 85-pot license, and law enforcement will say, well, then you're limited to that certain bushel limit. If you're over, it's going to be pretty easy to tell. If you have two or more on board, which is usually two license holders sometimes, then it's going to be the sum of the amount that they're both allowed. So law enforcement really is helping out on this process. And here's a situation of why use license gear data sets from different years. I think I answered that. We do it by precision of the estimates of those years on how they affect the bushel limit. And then this last item, why reduce the December 1 to 15 harvest based on 1994 harvest. And also, that was the last time that we had a harvest, although 1993 was the same. So we didn't use 1994 directly. You don't want to hear everything behind the scenes, but we did a ratio between what happened in November and what happened in December. And we used that ratio to work with 2010 data. This part you know about. Maryland is Maryland already has issued their indication that Hurricane Sandy allowed them to increase their season. We're asking the same thing. Here's the actual amount, 349,380 pounds through December 15th. Not all of that is female crabs, but probably 78% is. So there's two approaches here for conservation equivalency, a payback ratio, 2012 season addition versus 2013 predicted, or as CMAQ and staff are recommending, don't do anything with 2012, pay it all back in 2013. And CMAQ asked that staff come back and look at the harvest, which we should be able to do in 2013, that actually occurred, and if there are any adjustments to the bushel limits, that we could at least look at that. And that was part of the motion that you're going to see in a little bit. We want to provide CMAQ and you information about what happens at the end of the year. What happens from November 16th to 30th? This is partly when female crabs are still allowed until the 20th of November, and it's partly when only male crabs are allowed. The idea here is, where does the product go? And you can see that a lot of the product goes to Accomack, Gloucester, Northampton counties, and other unknown. But it is diverse. The other thing to look at is the harvest itself. We had comments at our last CMAQ meeting that by the end of the fall, it's principally a lower bay situation. And frankly, it's really not. Here's the lower bay, but also you have the upper bay, you have the James River, and you have seaside. So that's diverse as well. This gives you an indication of what type of an opportunity, depending on what the water temperatures are, that the industry will have. Water temperatures through December 15th. This shows you the March basis, what happens in March, and it shows the landings again are distributed. Accomack, at least in 2012, was a large component. However, in 2011, Gloucester was fairly large as well. If you look at the harvest, it is true the Chesapeake Bay lower area is predominant, at least in 2012, not so much in 2011. So the overall situation is that this isn't just a lower bay harvest or landings situation. There's going to be three items I'd like to show you, and the first one is the bushel limit for the 85 pots. and that used 2011 data. That was fitted as the best, the most precise data. There were 9,359 trips. The bushel limit is set at 27, so there are actually 139 trips that won't occur because of the fact that there's a bushel limit, and those trips are here. The important thing about the bushel limits are that these aren't the same harvesters. This data represents harvesters who may have had a high bushel limit on this day, but actually were down here on another day. So it's based on trips and what the realized harvest was by trips. So no one is in particular is singled out. It's anyone above 27 who is singled out, and they could be the same individual who usually harvests down here. If you look at the information in the table, this tells you the maximum bushel amount that these individuals made would make in 2013 based on 2011 data. So 144 harvesters would realize 1 to 8 bushels, 27, 9 to 13, and it goes forward up till you get to the harvesters affected by bushel limit, 13 harvesters. So this amount of trips represents 13 harvesters. The other two slides will be the same, so I'll just go over this one. The average bushel amounts, 193 harvesters fell into the 1 to the 8. A lot, you see a lot, these are all clustered together down here on the low end. And you see those who have 19 to 23 bushels. This is their average, what they averaged out. So this would, in fact, just be averages, and you find 2. If you look at the number of harvesters affected that average greater than 27 bushels, it's 3. So that means they may have had good days here, and they may have had some less than good days here, but on average, only 3 harvesters would be affected. There's something about this slide that you should know, which is some of these harvests are extraordinary for an 85 pot category. I mean, they're very extraordinary. And one benefit of the bushel limits, besides the payback and the conservation equivalency, the way the bushel limits are designed is to make harvesters think twice before they want to set extra pots. Everyone in industry will tell us, and they have, that there's a lot of extra pots being set. It's a very arduous task for law enforcement to try and get violations for over the pot limit. They have done it, but it takes a lot of time just for one case. So what will happen now is not only will you not be allowed this amount of harvest, but it may put a damper on the individual who has an 85 pot license and has been setting 200, 300 pots, knowing that he's just going to come in with his harvest. Now he's going to have to produce his license on demand, and let's hope his harvest matches up to his license. So that's the other benefit of the bushel limit. It's a de facto effort control. We do not have pot tagging, which was our primary request for effort control a couple of times before the commission. Financially, it couldn't be done, but this is a good way to go about it. This shows the most prolific pot category in terms of those who have the license, and you can see that the trips jump up to 32,000. The bushel limit is being set at 45. That's what we're proposing right here in the red line. And you can see, unlike the 85 pot limit, you really probably have just a few who are stretching things. It's hard to tell how many altogether, but the harvest is clustered so tight, there certainly is repeatability with the harvest amounts. But nonetheless, if you look over to this table, you can see that there are harvesters who just have a maximum bushel amount between 1 and 5, and 41 to 45 bushels are only 17. Whereas if you look at the number of harvesters that would be affected by a 45 bushel limit, it'll be 80. So again, what that means, it means not overall affected, but some of their trips are affected. One harvester might have trips here, he might have trips here. Now he'll just have the trips down here below the bushel limit. The last category to show you is the large pot category. So this is 425 pots. Much fewer trips, about a 25% of the 255 pot category. These are the very large rigs, and you can see that, again, there's some clustering above the 55 bushels that staff is recommending for this pot category. And you can also look over here that there's not that many who don't harvest at least a substantial amount as their maximum. And in fact, 31 individuals harvest 51 to 55 bushels. And there are 22 individuals who will be affected by this bushel limit. And again, just to reiterate, they could be affected by the trips they take, not by their average overall. So when staff met with CMAC, all these options were taken forward, and the situation was that CMAC, as I mentioned, liked the payback, the conservation equivalency, to occur over here in option F, March 17th to November 30th, 2013. And here are the corresponding pot categories. I showed you the 27 bushel limit. For 127 or less pots, it would be 32 bushels. For 170 pot limit, it would be 38 bushels. It would be 45 bushels for the 255 pot category and 55 bushels for 425. So staff and CMAC are recommending this option to the commission today. And that encapsulates the CMAC recommendation. As I mentioned earlier, they would like us to come back, to staff come back and take a look at how December 15th, the extension that is being recommended, how that fares. It might be a little more, it might be a little less. One of the comments we heard at CMAC from one individual was, it's supposed to be 70 degrees on Thanksgiving, so I'm getting $1 per pound. This is good. We also had information, which I didn't present you earlier, from a trucking firm that said they had several individuals who were still harvesting the Lower Bay, and it was profitable for them to continue as well. There were 8 in favor and 3 against this motion, and there was 1 abstention. So that's the CMAC recommendation from Friday. If I can move to the next agenda item, there was House Bill 238, which went through the General Assembly last session, and it is now, the result is in the code in Section 282101 for the VMRC and Section 29.1109 for the Virginia Department of Game and Fisheries. What that legislation did was it specified the jurisdiction of the two agencies, to where if you look at the language in the code, it indicates in 282101 that the commission has jurisdiction over crabbing, essentially. And if you look in 29.1109, it says the same thing, but the intention is that the Virginia Department of Game and Fisheries has jurisdiction over finfish in the Albemarle and Currituck watersheds that are part of the Virginia system. So those tributaries that flow into those watersheds. Really, of the areas that we have data on, right now it's mostly Back Bay and the North Landing River. And I think there's been 3 different times that the Crab Management Advisory Committee has looked at this information and always come to the same conclusion that they would like to see the peeler pot and the crab pot as the lawful gears in the Virginia areas of these watersheds and to eliminate crab scraping. I think when we first met with the reduced committee, it was staff's understanding that this was mainly about crab scrapes. We don't have any records of crab scrapes in Back Bay, but that certainly was what our understanding was, because the type of vegetation in Back Bay, Eurasian milfoil and other freshwater grasses. However, Chad Boyce, who's with the Virginia Department of Game and Fisheries, is here today, and he'll have some information for you as well. For the peeler pot, which Mr. Boyce requested CMAC not recommend to be allowed anymore in Back Bay, we find that there's a very limited amount of data from the peeler pot, probably only 5 years or so of trips in Back Bay especially, and you know, we don't see the reason to restrict the peeler pot from this area, even though it is sporadic in terms of its placement in Back Bay. And you can see here that there were 36 trips. So based on some of the trip data you saw just a little while ago, 36 trips is not very much for 18 years worth, with 600 pounds of soft and peeler crabs and 4,416 pounds of hard crabs from peeler pots. No fin fish species were reported from peeler pots. The reason that's there, when Mr. Boyce addressed the Crab Management Advisory Committee, the Virginia Department of Game, Land, and Fisheries concern is really they're looking at largemouth bass, the ones that are in the 10 to 12 or 8 to 12 inch range being in peeler pots. But again, we have no information that that is part of our database anyway. We're going to talk about the spawning sanctuary, and the spawning sanctuary is very straightforward. In 2009, the General Assembly passed legislation to allow the spawning sanctuary of the historical area, the 1942, the original sanctuary, to have the commission be allowed to set the season. And what the commission did in Regulation 1210, or Chapter 1210, was to at that time establish a May 1 season through September 15th as a closure to commercial harvest of blue crabs in the 1942 sanctuary area. That was to coincide with Regulation 752, which at that time also established a May 1 to September 15th closure to both commercial and recreational in the more modern sanctuary. There's definitely a conflict there that needs to be addressed, and to address that, staff is recommending rescinding Regulation 1210 and placing the information about the historical sanctuary, including that, in Regulation 752, so that there's one regulation and there's one closed season, May 16th to September 15th. And you can see here, when you see it in a minute, you'll recognize why. Areas 1 and 3 apply to recreational and commercial harvest closures. Areas 2 and 4 is commercial only. So when you look at this, you can see that areas 1 and 3 are recreational and commercial harvest closures from May 16th through September 15th, whereas 2 and 4 apply strictly to the commercial harvest only. The last item is the Marine Fishing Improvement Fund, and that's part of the notice, as all the items in your packet were provided for public notice. And this fund is derived from the commercial registration license fees, and a lot of this fund is dedicated to our mandatory reporting program. This year, there happens to be a little bit more money than usual, which is a benefit because it won't be there after this year, frankly. What we're asking is to, VIMS is going to have the, has already designed the study, is going to be in charge of the study. VMRC staff is going to participate. VIMS contractual costs, and you have this in your handout, total $98,806. VMRC is working directly with the captains, and this goes back to May, but the captains need up to $5,000 per four captains in order to get their gear in a state of readiness for this study, because a lot of things, chains, ropes, boards, everything else on the boat that has been dormant needs either replacing or fixing. So it's up to $5,000 per captain, and then $3,500 would be a one-time payment to hedge against poor market prices. When we met with the captains
and VIMS, they had a lot of concerns about how the marketability will go here. So to give you a quick snapshot, there's going to be 42 days of crab dredging starting December 17th, ending the first week in March. There will be four vessels. There will be two VIMS staff and two VMRC staff each day on two of the four boats, so at least we're able to all be in one area, because the boats will be in, say, roughly a half mile by a half mile square area, all four boats together. And so there definitely are some costs. The way the captains pay for fuel, overhead, crew, everything else is by selling their crabs. So they're going to be allowed to sell their crabs, and up to 40 bushels per day for 42 days. So there's a 1,680 bushel cap that they can do, because staff is going to have to monitor their cap, because some days, especially in December, we want a full experiment on every given day. If they are bringing up a lot of crabs at once, we don't want them to stop that day. Perhaps they harvest 50 bushels that day off the 1,680 bushel cap. Well, we're going to have to monitor that closely so that we make sure that they stay within the cap. One day they're going to have 30 bushels. The captain's concern is the market, and they talked a lot about they might only get $20 a bushel. They need $30 a bushel to really make this something that they can get a benefit from. And so rather than have a system where we would have to get every receipt that the captains had and watch every one of the 42 trips and keep track of all that and write a contract, the commissioner decided that that could be covered by a one-time payment. The one-time payment is if they finish the study. In your packet, you'll see that there's a pro rata. If they don't finish the study, it's going to be the number of days they did work compared to the 42 days, or the contractual amount of days. So we're trying to be fair all the way around. I think we have four good captains. I think the study will be very good with VIMS, who has a lot of experience already with the winter dredge study, and VMRC staff will benefit as well. The obvious looking point here is the incidental mortality, the same thing that was looked at a little over 20 years ago, except this time we'll have some estimates of the on-bottom mortality as well as the on-board mortality. There is certainly no expectations at this point on incidental mortality, whether 1%, 5%, 10%, you know, what's reasonable or unreasonable. Rather, I think VIMS and VMRC are going to be looking for these treatments that VIMS has designed for the type of bottom substrate. What does that do in terms of incidental damage? What do the divers do? And some other factors as well. So I'm going to move on to the recommendations and start with the pertaining to prohibition of crab dredging in Virginia waters. Staff is recommending closing the 2012-2013 season. Concerning the March 1 startup of the season, staff is recommending that March 17th is maintained as the start of the season for the information that was outlined earlier. And staff and the CMAC do recommend extending the fall crab pot season to December 15th. There's also page numbers in your amendments. I will say that if you're looking for the regulations, your mail out, your package in your books has the regulations, except for the ones that I handed out at the beginning of this presentation. So staff recommends establishing bushel limits by pot category from March 17th, 2013 through November 30th, 2013. And that includes repealing Regulation 300, which is in your books. Regulation 300 has probably been one of our oldest regulations. It establishes a 51 bushel limit from March 17th through May 31st. Instead of that, these new bushel limits by pot category would replace the 51 bushel limit during spring. I also will take this opportunity to say that we're not positive how the commission would like the regulation which is 270, which is one of the handouts that I provided, how you would like the date certains for that. And if you can turn to 270, chapter 270, on page 5, we do have at the top in paragraph A, date certain of March 17, 2013 through November 30, 2013, for the basis of establishing the bushel limits, because that's when the bushel limits would be established, is 2013. But we have not, at this time, gone back to all the sections where you could either say 2012 or 2013, which are numerous places in the regulations. And staff is recommending that the commission maintain the language on page 5 with the understanding that this regulation has to be revisited before we get into the next situation of an extended season. And staff thought about putting a sunset clause in here, but not sure whether that's the right way to do it either. So that's a question that's open. And I'll allow for some thought on that, but staff also recommends establishing area restrictions for the Albemarle and Currituck watersheds that have Virginia tributaries flowing to them, to commercial crab pot and feeler pot only. So that means there would be no scrape involved. And that's on page 5 of your in your book on the regulation. Already mentioned that this bushel limit would require a rescission of 300, regulation 300. For the blue crab sanctuaries, staff recommends establishing a single regulation for both the historic sanctuary closure to harvest season as well as the more modern areas. And this would require repealing Chapter 1210. Finally, staff recommends expenditures up to $132,000 for the crab dredge study. And this includes both the VIMS contract as well as the payments to the captains.
Rob, keep the staff recommendations up there for us. And I'm going to let you catch your breath.
Okay.
And we'll open the public hearing, and then we'll come back to questions after we hear from the public. So, again, this is a public hearing, folks. Who wishes to speak on any of these items that Mr. O'Reilly's gone through? Only Dr. Lipsius wishes to speak? We've heard enough from you now, right? Haven't we? Come on up, Ron.
Hey, Ron Lipsius, VIMS. Commissioner Travel said I just wanted to make a statement, a formal VIMS position on this, commissioners. And that is that I want to make a statement on everything except for two. That is the Albemarle. We haven't been involved in that, so I don't feel we can make a statement.
Sure.
And there would be an obvious conflict of interest if we made a statement regarding the request from the fund. So we're not doing anything with that. But
I understand.
For everything else, VIMS is in full support of staff recommendations, and we're going to remain here to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Mr. Moore.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Chris Moore. I'm a senior scientist at Chesapeake Bay Foundation. You've got our letter Rob passed out earlier, and I just wanted to add a couple points to that. And first, I want to thank Commissioner Travelstead and his staff for their work with the Advisory Commission, the Blue Crab Advisory Committee. We met Friday, which at 3 o'clock in the afternoon is probably not the best time to hold a meeting, but we had great attendance. I think we had a great discussion for the first time really this year, and I think that is going to be very helpful for this process moving forward to make sure we come up with regs that are vetted by folks both in the harvesting community and in the conservation community like myself. And I hope the work that we started on Friday continues to move forward. As I said, you've got our letter that we submitted a couple weeks ago. And first thing I want to do is commend staff for all the work they did pulling together the information on bushel limits. It was a tremendous amount of work, tremendous amount just to understand what we went through Friday. But it is something that we think, if implemented, will provide a leveling of the playing field for harvesters in Chesapeake Bay, in Seaside as well, and also allow for easier enforcement of the crabbing regulations in Virginia as well. And CBF supports the bushel limits. Next, and I realize that, again, this year you're presented with a very difficult decision to close the winter dredge fishery for possibly a fifth year in a row, and that is a decision not to be taken lightly, and I don't think this commission has done that in a year, in any of the years that it has done so. CBF sincerely hopes that the study that we have that's been drafted by staff at VIMS and VMRC will really give us some really detailed information to hopefully better manage not only the blue crab fishery as a whole, but possibly consider reopening this fishery at levels with additional conservation measurement in the future. And like I say, we'll put to bed some of the questions that have continued to surround this fishery in the past. And finally, I just want to say that we agree with staff's recommendation that the March 17th opening of the fishing season in 2013 is the most appropriate date for opening this fishing season. This year's harvest, very early in the season with the warm winter we had, shows very clearly how an extended season that time of year can have negative effects on the fishery management plan that we currently have in place for the blue crab. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Come on up. Just have your name.
But, you know, Mark Bender. I've got an 85 pot license. My father has an 85 pot license. And I guess I'm not breaking the law by carrying an agent. We can fish 175. That's correct.
That's right.
So if I carry an agent with me, I'll be able to catch 54. Yeah, a lawful agent. My carry my daughter as my father's agent. So I'll be able to catch 54 bushels.
That's correct.
Combined.
Well, if a man carries got a 425 pot license, and he carries an agent that's got another 425 pot license, he gonna be able to catch 110 bushels.
Same thing.
He can pull 850 pots in a day.
They can do it now.
Huh?
They can catch an unlimited quantity most of the season now.
Well, I mean, I'd just like to see just a straight old limit right across the board. And, I mean, there's only so many markets for crab. There's no picking houses. There's only fresh market. And once all these crabs hit the dock, either two things happen. You don't get to go. Or the prices where, you know. So, I mean, supply and demand tells me that it's better to catch 35 baskets of crabs for $20 than it is to catch 50 baskets for $10. I'd just like to see a lot of these laws wiped off the books. The cull ring thing, y'all breeding small crabs. I mean, if you're going to breed horses, you're going to go to Chincoteague and get two Chincoteague ponies to breed racehorses. And, I mean, and then you end up catching when the crabs – spawn, you end up catching the little crabs anyway because they can't get out the cull rings anyway. So to me, cull rings are useless as far as I'm concerned. And the other thing is, if y'all put this limit on there, I was froze out of being able to buy a license. So I bought a license, went out and purchased it, and spent a considerable amount of money for my license, my father's license. And if you put this bushel limit on an 85-pot license, I feel like that's going to make my license worth nothing, and somebody that's got a larger license worth more.
Thank you. Anyone else? Chad. Good to see you. Chad Boyce, Game Department. Welcome back to VMRC.
That's right. Very good to see you, members of the commission. Chad Boyce, I'm with the Virginia Department of Game and Fish. And just quickly wanted to kind of touch on a couple of points related to the Albemarle Currituck Sound gear restriction. That House Bill 238 was a bill that was introduced on behalf of the Game Department an attempt to clarify some jurisdictional issues that had kind of been ongoing for a long period of time. And as a result of that, it was the intent of the department to be able to preserve and to essentially allow the historical fishery that's been in that area to continue. And so that in no way were we attempting to limit any fishery. And it was the perception of the department when reviewing the data that the Peeler fishery was a relatively insignificant fishery. Another point that was mentioned was the reference to fish being captured in the Peeler pots. And our concern was simply the fact that we are currently investing a tremendous amount of money in trying to reestablish what was a very historic trophy largemouth bass fishery. And we were concerned about gear interactions. That's very plain and simply. There's very little data to support fish mortality in Peeler pots. I'm not sure why. There's not a lot of studies to really support that. But there are a few that do indicate bycatch in Peeler pots. However, that's not anything that we're willing to die in the ditch over. That was just simply a suggestion that we had when looking out for the fisheries resources. And you're not going to see any fisheries show up on the mandatory reporting data, primarily because largemouth bass are listed as a game fish, and they're not legal to possess by commercial fishermen. So you're not going to see any of that data show up anyway. So if you have any other questions, I'd be glad to answer those.
Any questions? Thanks, Chad. Good to see you. Any other comments? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Are there questions of Mr. O'Reilly at this point? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of quick points. Chris Moore made reference to the fact that the committee did have a good discussion, and I just want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for filling out the advisory panel with some new members. Their participation was very welcome. We're now filling out that committee, I think, in a more effective way, and look forward to continued contributions from them. Rob did talk about economic data and the timing of certain pulses of catch within the fishery and how that works together with price to affect the total economic performance of the fishery. And I think that's an area where, going forward, we can solicit quite a bit of input from the advisory panel to try to keep that in mind as we consider the broader management plan and its effects on the economics of the fishery. So I think that was a good starting point for discussion. One point that the committee made, it was the committee's understanding when they passed the motions they did with respect to the season extension and the bushel limits, that they would be for 1 year only. That is that they would go through this winter and then that the bushel limits, that is that the season extension would go through this December 15th of 2012, and that in turn the bushel limits would be in effect for the season that's currently on the books for 2013. That was the committee's understanding. I just note that for the record. As we discuss how we want to treat the dates that Rob makes mention to in the proposed regulations. I think the slide that Rob did have up, is this this slide is a slide of catch for 85 pot licensees. That's reported catch per trip. And looking at this slide was a real eye-opener and prompted a lot of discussion for the committee. I think anybody on the committee will tell you that good crabbing is probably crabbing that yields a bushel out of every 10 pots, and the crabbing of a lifetime is the kind of crabbing that might yield a bushel out of every 4 pots. So when you start to do the math against the respective license levels, this raised a lot of eyebrows because we have catches within the 85-pot license category that exceed 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 bushels. I think in light of this, there was interest in seeing how the use of bushel limits might be an important management tool for the commission going forward. And staff has done a tremendous amount of work in preparing these charts and analyses for our consideration. But I think it does highlight the fact that only a very few number of trips out of the total fishery would actually be affected. So it's an opportunity at this point in time to introduce it as a management measure without significantly penalizing the existing fishery. And to the extent that any trips are constrained, I'll leave it to the judgment of the commission as to whether or not those trips are in fact compliant with the gear regulation. So I think there was just a general sentiment among committee members that there was, in fact, utility to be gained by considering bushel limits. And we've had these conversations before, but at much different levels. Typically, when we've talked about them in the past, we've had some petitions that have come to the commission about wanting to really constrain catch during the glut period, but at a much lower level than the numbers that we're talking about. But the consensus that we discussed was that we would look at these things adaptively. That is, we would adopt these for 2013, but then would go back and look at the actual catch that occurs from the end of the season through December 15th, if we extend the season. And if we have to make slight adjustments to these figures, we would consider that adaptively going forward. And on the other point of the staff recommendation for the dredge fishery, I think it's very important to note that the commissioner has made an important commitment to going forward with this study to really investigate in detail and in a scientific way what the incidental mortality is associated with that gear type. There's always been a lot of debate around the uncertainty associated with the characterizations of what the actual mortality is in that fishery. And while we went through the process of having to constrain mortality, that was obviously an important area of discussion. But I think the study should put the public and the commission and the industry in a much better position to have that conversation as we come out of that study. So we'll look forward to the work that Ron Lipschitz and his crew at VIMS are going to do on that.
Any other questions, comments?
I do.
Yes, sir, Mr. Tanker.
I've got two questions. First, being the bushel limit. Years ago, the bushel limit was seen as something that we didn't want to go to. It seemed like a kind of a way of accounting for the fishery in a precise manner. But in the past, we talked about it being difficult to monitor. Why the sea change all of a sudden?
You have asked me that question before, haven't you?
Yeah.
What's been difficult before is a quota, and that's still difficult. So years ago, going back to 2000, when there was a bi-state agreement to reduce exploitation rate by 15%, the three jurisdictions had to cobble together plans to do that. And at that time, quotas were talked about. They were talked about again in 2005 or 2006. And law enforcement has always said they would have problems with quotas because there's so many offloading sites throughout the Commonwealth. How could that be tracked? Bushel limits, the problem hasn't been that law enforcement didn't like bushel limits because the 51 bushel limit has been in effect since somewhere in the 80s in the spring. It's rarely reached except 2006. Mr. Robbins mentioned it. There was a petition of probably 250, 300 signatures, but no one showed up to the meeting to bring the petition forward to go to 25 bushels because of the glut. So the bushel limit really hasn't had bad press at all. But I do want to say that Mr. Bender, and I know he left, but he brought up one thing that I meant to indicate in my presentation, which is when you look at this, at any of the pot categories, it's not as if the harvesters here who are consistently taking trips to produce this much are going to wake up the next morning in March 18th and say, you know what, I'm going to go up and I'm going to get the full bushel in it. Because these are based on trips, what it's going to do, it's going to eliminate these trips. But you would expect status quo from the harvesters who harvest in this region of the limit, because if we didn't have bushel limits, they certainly were free to increase what they harvested anyway. So that's the one nuance that Mr. Bender sort of reminded me of with his comments about, you know, bushel limits. So I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it does. And I had one other.
Yes, sir.
And then the other part was, you know, in the literature that we looked at before the meeting, we often saw that there was this continued comment about full-time fishery. I mean, which is, I guess, with regard to the dredge fishery. Has there really been a so-called full-time fishery in the state of Virginia in any significant fashion in the last decade or two?
Well, 1988, which I mentioned earlier, the crab dredge fishery was 25% of the annual landing. So that was definitely just about a year-round season. That's the closest. After that, in 1993, the industry made recommendations that we reduce the amount of crab dredgers, which was 375 licenses, down to 225. And when it got to that level, if it got five below, that we could raise it. And then by the time it got down to that level, it kept decreasing. So as you recall, in 2008, there were only 53 crab dredgers of record who had those two harvest seasons. So I think continuity of supply is more of what the industry is thinking of, some way they can have continuity of supply to keep the market prices up. And it would be hard to think, even in 2007, 2008, the dredge fishery was landing about 1.4 million pounds, and that's really not a large amount of harvest, you know, for that period, for a three-month period.
Mr. Powell?
First of all, I like the idea of the fluidity. If we just do the bushel limits for 1 year, it allows us to adapt on a yearly basis, and we could just make that part of the agenda every year instead of having to worry about an emergency meeting or something like that. Secondly, at the CMAQ meeting, there was quite a bit of expression regarding bushel limits where quite a few people were in favor of them. So I wouldn't be opposed to them. The last thing, it's not here anywhere on the agenda, but for 2013, the 17th of March, which would be opening day typically, it's on a Sunday, and if we could move that to a different date, say opening day even the 16th, so that the guys could get their gear in the water instead of having to wait an extra day or two, something for us to consider.
Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you, Rob. I think the way we ought to proceed is simply go in order of the staff recommendations that have been laid out for us, and I think it, because of the significance of each one of these items, we should have a separate motion from the commission for each regulatory change. So Chair is looking for a motion on item one up there, closure of the crab dredge season for the 2012-2013 season. Mr. Palmer?
I'll move to accept the staff recommendation regarding the closure of the dredge season for 2012-2013.
Is there a second to the motion? Seconded by Mr. Tankard. Comments on the motion? Seeing none. I'm sorry.
I'd be interested in seeing what this this new dredge, not really a dredge survey, but the dredge experiment shows, and perhaps with a little luck in 2013, we'll be able to open the season up then.
Certainly that study, I think, will go a long way to answering my concerns about the effects that fishery has. I don't know that it will address everyone's, but I think it's a good first step. Any further comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion carries. Item two is the maintains the March 17th opening date, extends the season with the pot limits that have been described in Regulation 270, and restricts the Albemarle watershed to crab potting and tilapia potting. Mr. Palmer.
Make a motion to make it a March 16th opening date. And other than that, follow staff recommendations. I know a lot of people wanted March 1st, but when there was an open season, we could set whatever we wanted. I typically would set on March 1st, but I wouldn't catch any crabs until somewhere between the 7th and the 10th. In the meantime, your gear is just getting dirty. I know we all have very short memories. We look at last winter when we could have caught crabs in January, but that's not a typical year. So a motion would be March 16th plus staff recommendations.
Second by Mr. Plumley. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Rob, could you
yes.
Put the slide there? We have to rescind old regulation 300. Is there a motion? What did that do now, Ralph?
That's the regulation that has the 51 bushel.
The 51 bushel.
Right. May 31st.
Motion by Mr. Robbins.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. The last motion, just to clarify, did that just address the opening date, or did that address the balance of staff recommendations?
All of those.
So that addressed the extension. I just want to make sure the record's clear and my understanding's clear. So this extends the season through December 15th.
Right.
Establishes the bushel limits by pot category for next year.
Right.
And
2013 only.
And includes the Albemarle watershed.
Yes.
Modification.
Is that to the last motion, correct?
Incorrect. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Captured okay.
All of those items.
Thank you.
All right. Item 3, motion to rescind Regulation 300.
I'll move to
motion by Mr. Plumlee. Second to the motion.
Second.
Mr. Robbins, any discussion? Ready to vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Item 4. This combines the two sanctuary regulations into a single regulation with a closure date of May 16 to September 16. Is there a motion on that one?
I'll move to approve that as staff has recommended.
Second, Mr. Robbins. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion carries. Finally, item 5, expenditure from the Marine Fishing Improvement Fund for the study. Expenditures of up to $132,000.
I'll move to approve that as well.
Motion by Mr. Plumlee, seconded by Mr. Robbins. Any comments? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion carries. What an excellent job staff has done on this. You have my complete congratulations. I know you all spent literally months, some weekends involved there, holidays.
You don't want to know.
You, Rob, Joe, I think Adam was involved in that. Everybody on staff was literally involved, and it was a tremendous effort that I think paid off. And let me also congratulate the advisory committee for putting a lot of effort into this. I think this is a excellent example of staff and the industry working together to end up in a good place. So congratulations to everyone.
If I may ask one guidance question.
Yep.
On Chapter 270, based on the comments we heard, we will go back and make that date certain throughout, whether it applies to 2012 or 2013.
I think so. Yeah, okay. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you all.